It will start momentarily, Hashem. Okay, good evening, everyone. Well, different location. I'm sitting in my car. I'm not driving. I pulled over into a gas station. hence the background. Okay, so I want to discuss the following, continuing on the theme that we've been discussing the past couple of nights, and that is, what is the halacha about an individual, a woman or any individual, reading a cookbook on Shabbos? Is it permissible to read a cookbook? So first of all, I mentioned already that there's a concept of Sifrei Chachma. Sifrei Chachma means Sfarim that teach some sort of form of some knowledge, some science, whether science or other forms of knowledge, worldly knowledge. I'm not talking about Torah now, I'm talking about worldly knowledge. And we know the word science is very broad and includes all sorts of forms of you know, secular knowledge, worldly knowledge. So Sifrei Chachma is a discussion, is a machlokas rishonim. So the bottom line is that for Sfardim, those who are follow the psak and the rulings of the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch, Sifrei Chachma are not permissible on Shabbos. One is not, and one according to the Mechaber, the opinion he brings down first, which is the binding opinion according to his view, is that though one is not allowed to read Sifrei Chachma on Shabbos, they are in the same category as any other type of forbidden reading material. But for Ashkenazim, the minig is to be makel, because the there's based on the Rama and the poskim afterwards, although it is definitely commendable and recommended for an Ashkenazic Jew to be machmer as well and not to read Sifrei Chachma on Shabbos. However, it's not technically usser. Okay, so the question is, well, so maybe that's what a cookbook is. Cookbook is teaches you the science, you know, the chachma of how to make a good dinner, a good pot roast, a good whatever, potato cook, you know, whatever, you name it. That's what a cookbook is. It gives you the knowledge of how to make these foods. But the problem is the cookbook also gives you instructions on malacha that has to be done. And you're definitely not, nobody holds that you're allowed to read a sefer which tells you how to do malacha. I mean, if you were to read a manual on how to, you know, how to build or repair a computer, or how to do gardening in the most effective way, or anything of that sort. A book that teaches you how to sew. That you're definitely not allowed to learn, to read on Shabbos, even though it's a sefer chachma, but it's discussing malacha, saying, you know, lay the material out here and cut it like this and sew it like that. You know, it's telling you do this malacha. So that you for sure are not allowed to read. When we say Sifrei Chachma, it's like to read a biology book about the anatomy of human beings and of and animals and plant life. You know, you're not learning about malacha, doing malacha. You're learning facts of science. But to learn to read instructions of doing malacha, you're not allowed to do. So a cookbook contains a lot of that too. It says, preheat the oven and then mix this with that and cook it at this temperature and various malachas involved, havar and bishul for sure, and others as well. So in that having been said, that should remove cookbooks from the list of Sifrei Chachma which are permissible, and should make it not permissible even for Ashkenazim. And that's the way a number of poskim look at it, and they say that's it. You should not read a cookbook. You may not read a cookbook on Shabbos, and even those who don't say straight out you may not, but will certainly say it's not advisable. The question is there a tzad heter? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach actually expresses a tzad heter, and it seems that what he's saying, or the way some understand that what he's saying, is that the cookbook doesn't tell you how to make a fire. It says you need to preheat the oven, but it doesn't say, you know, strike a match and hold it to the gas, or turn the dial until the electricity flows. I mean, it just tells you preheat the oven, and preheating the oven for shteitzach involves malacha, but it's not giving you instructions. It's not telling you how to do that, or it tells you how to, you know, it tells you, you know, cook at 400 degrees. What does cook mean? It doesn't say, okay, take the raw ingredients and put them on the fire where they will then become a cooked dish. It doesn't say that. It says cook. So perhaps he's saying that that's okay. That's not, they're not giving you, they're not telling you how to do malacha. They're just telling you to do cooking, which involves malacha, but it's just something of that sort, perhaps. I'm trying to explain perhaps what Rav Shlomo Zalman might have meant by when he writes there, when he tries to explain a at least a tzad, a possibility that it would be okay to read a cookbook and why it's not like a manual on doing malacha. But in any event, everyone agrees it's not recommended. And even if you're, you know, let's say you're using the facilities and you want to, you know, some distraction or some pastime, it would be better to find something else. It would be better to use a biology book or a book about rocket science or about the planets. Learn about the planets. Learn about, you know, whatever it is. A lot of topics. I don't have to tell you. There are numerous topics. So now a question just popped up, which thank you very much. I planned to address. I might have forgotten, so I thank you. And that as well, let's say you want to look up a recipe for something, for a salad, something that doesn't involve any cooking. And just, you know, you just want to know how much, you know, how many cups of carrots you should put into here, whatever it is. Or no cooking, no grinding, nothing, no malacha. Just mixing the ingredients in. How much oil should I put into the salad? How many tablespoons of salt? So that's okay. That you could do, because even for sure, if you have no way of getting the recipe otherwise, no practical way. Meaning, because even if we'll say the book is usher to read, it's inherently a cookbook, and 90% of it is, you know, is recipes and involve malacha, but. So it's a klisha malach tol iser. It says it's like a hammer, but you could still move a hammer on Shabbos if you needed to crack a walnut. If you don't have a nutcracker and you want to open a walnut, you're allowed to use your hammer to open the walnut. It's not like absolute muksa. It's a klisha malach tol iser. So if you don't have someone who could tell you the recipe available, then you'd be even if the cookbook is not mutter to read and hence is muksa. And maybe this is the first time that I'm actually clarifying that point, that things that you can't read on Shabbos, if they for sure are not readable, for sure not permissible to be read, then they're muksa. They're muksa, like a klisha malach tol iser. But even so, like I said, you can still use your muksa cookbook to look up a recipe which is permissible to make on Shabbos if you don't have another way of finding out the recipe. Okay, let's discuss one more example. What about looking up in an appointment calendar, an appointment book, or a calendar, a list of your appointments? That you have now. I'm not okay. Listen, points. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? And so, if there are appointments for Shabbos, or some of them for Shabbos, you think you might have an appointment to meet with somebody on Shabbos, not your hairdresser, of course, Shabbos, but you have an appointment to meet with, meet with somebody for a discussion, and you need to double check on that or look up the details. What time is it? And so that for sure you're allowed to do, but let's say no. You know for sure you don't. You have no appointments in Shabbos. But you have appointments during the week and you want to check on them. So it would depend. If they're not for Parnassa, if they're just appointments for, you know, whatever it may be. So you, even though it's not for Parnassa, you shouldn't do it. If it's not for Shabbos, you have no tzarech for it on Shabbos, you should not do it unless it's a Dvar Mitzvah. Meaning, if you you made up to meet with a certain woman that you know, or a young girl who's having difficulty in a certain area, let's say having difficulty, Rahman Salam, Shalom Bayis, whatever, and you said, okay, well, Sunday afternoon, come, we'll get together and we'll schmooze a little bit, and I'll see if I could if we could sort through some of your issues. So that's for Dvar Mitzvah, so you'd be allowed to do that. Or some other thing, you know, some other person, a teenager that needs chizuk, and you're going to meet with them. So for Dvar Mitzvah, that you'd be allowed to do. Not Stam, a friend that you're meeting in the park to spend the afternoon and whatever it is, but a Dvar Mitzvah like that you'd be allowed to do. If it's for Parnassa, though, So then again, it would depend. If it's plain parnasa, you for sure can't do. You can't look. You know, if appointments that you have for work appointments or appointments to meet with a potential client or an employer or employee, that for sure not. But unless, let's say the work is mitzvah. Let's say you give kala classes, talking to women. So you give kala classes, and it's parnasa. You charge for the kala classes. And you want to look up your schedule. If I think, you know, to see what you have scheduled for the next day, if you have an appointment or did, I can't remember if I canceled it tomorrow or not. And I'd like to know now. So it's brought from Shmuel Kamenetsky that it depends on your kavana. If it's more a business than anything else, then you cannot do it. But if it's really not, it's more a chesed. It's more l'shem shemayim. You're doing it because you really want the, you know, these young, you want to teach these college. You want them to know. And you're doing, if that's your real matara, you charge because, you know, everybody has to put bread on the table. And, you know, it's very many families now are two income families. So you charge because you need to charge, but that you're not in it for the money. You're really in it for the chesed. You're really in it to, you feel you have what to offer to these girls. You could help them, you know, clarify the halachas properly and get started in marriage properly, etc. Then you'd be allowed to do it. Even though you're making money on it, but it's not your main kavanah. The halacha is brought, a similar thing is brought, that the person, let's say, is a sofer, and he charges, he writes tefillin, and he charges, makes a lot of money on it, but he's still called an osik b'mitzvah as far as certain things, because he's called osik b'mitzvah because he's not making money by fixing cars, which is also could be a tremendous chesed, but it's not like writing tefillin. So even though he gets paid for it, but he's still called osik b'mitzvah. So if that's your primary reason, then it'd be okay. Okay, now, I'm gonna have to stop here. I did see a question I do expect to talk about that, Hashem. We need to discuss very important questions about reading menus or, you know, lists of foods you want to make for Shabbos or for Yontif, guest lists. These are prime discussions in these halachas, whether you're allowed to read those things. And there's another halacha about captions. You might have heard. Now, isn't there something about not reading a caption? So, Bez Hashem, hopefully we will get to those topics. I do want to say, though, the next we'll have to continue Bez Hashem Sunday. Wednesday and Thursday night, I don't expect to be on. I'm planning a trip to New York, Bez Hashem. So I do not plan to be on Wednesday or Thursday. So my plan, Bez Hashem, is to continue next week, Sunday, and hopefully we'll get to these topics, the topics that I mentioned, and maybe some other things. Okay. Good night, everyone. Be well. All the best.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.